Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, analyst for CBS Sports. And, B, I want to ask you just from a player perspective, do you think that players have any say whatsoever in whether a coach stays or goes? Can they go to the owner and say, hey, we screwed up some games, but the coaching here is on point. He's doing what he needs to do. Does it matter, and does that kind of stuff happen in your experience?
In my personal experience, no, I don't think players have a say-so that is heard, where ownership or the powers that be would take what they say to heart and say, you know what, we were going to fire this coach, but because of what you said, we're not going to fire this coach. It doesn't really work that way. Now, I'm just talking about my personal experience. Now, has it happened in the National Football League before? Who knows? But oftentimes when the guys that cut the check, when their mind is made up about something, their mind is made up. Because if these players, and this is a hypothetical I'm giving you, if these players were so adamant about this coach is doing a good job and he shouldn't be fired, well, why aren't you winning more games?
Right. I mean, I said that to Carl. I said it, and I keep talking to fans on Twitter and stuff. B, it goes back to the beginning of the season. It goes back to camp. You know, having Penix Jr. ready. Carl brought up a great point on, I think it was Tuesday's show, saying should maybe had an open competition, you know, before we decided to hand it over to Penix. I know how the thing went down with the GM drafting him, but still, so many things that left me wanting more. If you don't beat the Saints, if you play like we played against the Rams, they should beat the Saints by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. And then the thing about this game with Atlanta and New Orleans, both teams have been playing fairly well, especially the New Orleans Saints. You know, you talk about Michael Penix, it seems like the Saints have really found their QB1 of the future in Tyler Shuck. Remember, they were heavily criticized when they selected him in the second round. But to your point with Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta has been one of the more major disappointing teams in the National Football League because of the expectations and the talent. And I go back, you talked about open competition. I go back and give you one further, one better. Why didn't the starters play in preseason games?
Right.
For the second straight year in a row, we saw no starters play in the preseason games. And I understand people say, well, open scrimmages are just as important. No, they're not the same because you're not in a game atmosphere. You're not. Preseason games are televised. Open scrimmages are not. Preseason games, fans are there. Open scrimmages, yes, you might have training camp fans, but it's not the same as having a full stadium filled, more so than fans standing on the sideline and watching. And Pat Mahomes plays every preseason. Andy Reid has his starters out there. For Atlanta, for a team that didn't make the playoffs a year ago, I feel like their starters had no right to not play in the preseason, and they got off to a slow start once again.
What's your take on Tyler Shuck, man? Kid seems to be playing well for the Saints. They're riding a little high right now. He's 6'5", 220. He's got the size. Played a lot of time and a lot of years in college. So, you know, he comes in. He's got some experience under his belt. What do you think about his play so far?
Man, he's done a really, really good job, honestly. You know, when you talk about where he was drafted, he wasn't necessarily the household name amongst some of the other quarterbacks that were selected high. But he's played the best out of all the rookie quarterbacks this season. He's played the best. And I'll say this, the most important thing that I've seen with Tyler, his ability to win with not a lot around him. That's what good quarterbacks do. They do more with less. And if you talk about doing more with less, that's who Tyler has been. And that's why I'm really excited to see how this game plays out between two teams that really hate each other, but, you know, trying to finish on a good note.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many storylines over the week. We talked last week about, you know, Lamar Jackson and all this weirdness. You know, it seems like Tua's dead man walking in Miami. I mean, do you think there's is there any way in God's green earth Lamar Jackson's not on the Ravens next year?
No, there's no way in the world.
Yeah,
there's no way in the world Lamar Jackson won't be a part of the Baltimore Ravens. And if that was to happen, Lord, I hope we can get him in Pittsburgh.
By the way,
if they're dumb right. enough to, if they're foolish yep. enough to do something like that, please. But no, man, listen, man, it's been a down year for Lamar Jackson. He's dealt with a hamstring injury. And it seems like when he returned from that hamstring injury, he wasn't healthy. Then he just dealt with a back ailment 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So it's been a difficult road for him. But don't get it twisted. Lamar Jackson is still an elite quarterback. He is still him. And everything they've done in terms of success has been predicated on who he is as a player. So, I like I said, if they're foolish enough, call Mike. Man, listen, no, I would gladly take him in Pittsburgh.
Right. By the way, just real quick as a follow-up, I heard, if I read between the lines, you don't want Aaron Rodgers coming back even if he wanted to.
No, 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 no. If Aaron Rodgers wants to come back, I'll say this. If Aaron Rodgers wants to come back, because if you look at what's option B, right now we don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at what Aaron Rodgers did this year, he's been a pleasant surprise for our team. So if we can add more arsenal in the passing game, primarily speaking the wide receiver position, and if Aaron Rodgers wants to come back and he's highly motivated like he has been this season, I welcome him because right now we don't even know what option B would be.
Who wins this game on Sunday night and
why? You know who I'm taking.
Why?
You know who I'm taking.
Okay, so why? Why do they win?
I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers because Lamar Jackson, historically speaking, he struggled against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he's 3-5, 3-6, something like that. Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin, he's had a really, really good way of winning ball games against Coach Harbaugh. Pittsburgh, in the last 9 home divisional games, they're 8-1. When they play against AFC North opponents at home in Acrisure Stadium, they win those ball games more so than they lose. And you know how it is for us as analysts and how we study the game, we watch the game. Even when we think we know, we really don't know. But what do we always go back to? Numbers, trends. Right? That's what we do.
Yeah.
When we analyze games and we give our prediction, numbers are that final defining argument for whatever side we're going with. And those numbers tell me I like us to win. Now, I am a bit concerned not having Darnell Washington, not having DK Metcalf, but they've had a full week to prepare without both of those guys. Mm-hmm. So I think they will have a game plan in place. And our defense, that's why I'm really, really hyped about this game going in Pittsburgh Steelers' favor, because of the defense. One thing about Pittsburgh, when they played against Lamar Jackson hasn't been Lamar Jackson. Even going back to the first meeting with Derrick Henry. Yeah, Derrick Henry ran for almost 500 yards against the Green Bay Packers, but ain't the same when he plays against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Be another game up for grabs in another division, should I say, is our division. Panthers-Bucks. Who wins this game?
Oh, my goodness. Now, that's a good one. The division nobody wants to win. And real quick, before I give you my answer about who wins this game, who will win this game, I'm sorry, Falcon fans, but I got to do it to you. Just imagine if Atlanta beat Miami or that come from behind
Jets.
Loss never happened against Carolina or the Jets.
Right.
If they won any one of those games, you know they would be sitting in the catbird seat to win the division.
Right.
Think about it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you can pick.
Think about
you
it.
Can pick any of your favorite special teams gaffes. You know, Bryant. We've talked about that. You know, where they flipped the field. That happened in Berlin with the Colts. And by the way, the defense. Ulbrich gets a lot of love because he's probably the best of all the coaches on the staff. But you allowed 448 yards passing to Bryce Young. You gave 240 yards of rushing to Ryan Clark. Right.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah, and then look at it. The special team role started week one. You still got special teams role. If you make the field goal week one against Tampa, you win that game.
Well, at least you're in overtime.
So I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Falcon fans. The body is still warm. That was a little too soon. But you should have won this division. But for me, guys, I side with Carolina, man. I side with Carolina. And here's why. Tampa, in the last 8 games, they're 1-7. They're 1-7. In those last 8 games in that 1-7 stretch, Baker Mayfield thrown 12 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I really believe Baker is not healthy. I really believe that shoulder ailment that surfaced, I think, weeks ago against Detroit, he's never gotten healthy, fully healthy from that. And that's why we've seen a decline in production, especially in the last 7 games, because in his first 8 games, he only had 2 interceptions. He was in that MVP conversation. We all was throwing his name into that conversation in the first 8 games, a stretch in which they were 6-2. And when you factor in their defense, they'll be without their both starting cornerbacks, Jamel Dean, Zion McCullen. They're going to be out. Their defense was already an Achilles heel. They were already vulnerable in spots. Not having their 2 starting cornerbacks, that's a big-time loss. And then when you look at the trend, guys, with Carolina, right, I got to go back to October 19th. That win against the Jets. Since then, they've been in this world of win-loss, 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 win-loss. Look at their schedule. It's been an untimely trend of inconsistencies where they win and they lose. What happened to Carolina last week? Did they win or did they lose last week?
Lost.
They lost.
Yep.
They lost to Seattle. So if that trend stands firm, and it's been firm since October the 19th, that means they win next week, this week, because they've been in this win-loss scenario.
Right.
And I think that's gonna be the telling sign. And I have more faith, guys, in Bryce Young than I do Baker in this stage, honestly.
Right. Hey, before we wrap up with Bryce McFadden, guys, from CBS Sports, and again, to get the number one seed in the NFC, because San Fran beat Seattle in the first week of the season, 49ers, I don't know if you're as impressed, Ryan, as Brian, as we are. The injuries they overcome, you know, the job that they do and what they got. And the 49ers, by the way, the only bad news is Bill Vinovich is the ref for this one, guys. He's a train wreck. You like the 49ers or Seattle?
Yeah, you talk about impressive. You know, I said last weekend, you know, after they beat Chicago, I think I felt like Kyle Shanahan should win Coach of the Year. Missing so many key contributors, not making no excuses, still finding ways to win. Think about it. I mean, Bosa has missed time. Your starting quarterback has missed time. You know, Fred Warner has missed time. Cornerbacks have missed time. Offensive linemen have been banged up. All the wide receivers been banged up at some point. George Kittle has missed time. You know, Trent Williams has been injured. Brandon Ayuk hasn't played one game all year. And they're in competing for the number one spot in the NFC. So I think Kyle Shanahan should win Coach of the Year. To answer your question, I'm going to take Seattle, guys. I'm taking San Francisco. And when I look at defining, like, real game seven, like, moments, like they're getting ready to embark in because of what's at stake, two things that I always go to. Who has the better coaching? Who has the better quarterback? Right? Now, both coaches have done a great job. Mike McDonald has been outstanding. Heck, he should be in that Coach of the Year running as well. But I think, collectively speaking, Kyle Shanahan has done a better job. And then you look at the quarterback. Who do you trust more at the quarterback position? Sam Darnold or Brock Purdy? I think the consensus would say Brock Purdy. I mean, Brock Purdy in his last six games, and man, he's been hibachi hot, completing 71% of his passes, 19 total touchdowns, guys, in his last six games, 19 total touchdowns. That's tops in the National Football League. So he's been the better of the two when you look at the quarterbacks. So I think that plays a major factor, of course, with San Fran being at home. And also, too, the last key nugget I'll give you guys, in the last eight meetings between these two teams, San Francisco is 7-1 against Seattle.
Own them. They own them. B, before you get out of here, a team nobody's talking about, but I think they're dangerous in the playoffs. It's the Houston Texans. They've won eight in a row. They may have the best defense in the National Football League. I just feel like people are sleeping on this team. They play the Colts on Sunday in the 1 o'clock window. What do you think about those guys?
Man, I might do it with you. I love their defense guys, Carl, Mike, because they got a bunch of guys that look like what they hunt on their defense. Like quarterbacks, they don't stand a chance trying to run from them guys because they go get them. And you look at the cornerbacks, I think they have the best duo of corners in the National Football League. You know, Bulldog alum, Kamari Lassiter.
Yep.
I think he's one of the best tackling cornerbacks in the National Football League. Derek Stingley is a do-it-all guy. Bullock, all Hawkins safety. Jalen Petrie. And those guys play football the right way. And now the offense is starting to come along a little bit, which has helped them overall as a team. Because if their offense can just make the necessary plays, that's it. They don't got to be a 35-point offense. But if they make the necessary plays and protect the football, their defense will do the best. And I said last week, when they had that double-digit lead against the Chargers, I knew it was over. You don't give a defense like the Houston Texans has a double-digit lead and expect for an opposing team to come back with the way how they hunt quarterbacks, I'm right there with you. And if Jacksonville happens to lose and Houston wins the AFC South, and they will have a home playoff game in the first round.
It's going to be crazy. Few games matter. Seeding matters this weekend, and every team that's in the playoffs is playing for it. B, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you. Happy New Year. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.